You're listening to the Preacher's Side Chick Murder Trial of Latasha Daniels from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.
Thank you, Your Honor. Rose Perry was a pastor of a church. He was a husband. And he was a man who enjoyed life. He was 36 years old at the time of his death. He wasn't perfect. He had flaws, much like a lot of people have flaws. In the fall of 2016, he was one of the pastors at a church in Little Rock. He knew the defendant through his role at that church. She was a member of the church, and I believe she was a leader of a life group in that church. She was going through a divorce or had recently divorced. They talked about that. A sexual relationship between the two of them began sometime around February of 2017. And you'll hear that that relationship went on until sometime the end of 2018 or maybe even going into 2019. Went on for several years. Toward the end of 2018, I believe it was around October, Mr. Perry and his wife took a job. Well, Mr. Perry took a job. He and his wife moved here, moved to Collierville in Shelby County because he took a job at Mississippi Boulevard Church here, also working as, I think, an executive pastor at that church. So not the senior pastor or the preaching pastor, but he was working with that church here in Shelby County. So they left Little Rock and moved here. That resulted in the relationship between the defendant and Mr. Perry became strained. He decided he didn't want to be in that relationship anymore. They lived away from each other. I don't know the reasons that he decided that, but he did when they moved back here. On April the 4th of 2019, the defendant left Little Rock. She stopped at a gun store in Sherwood, Arkansas, where she purchased a Ruger 9mm handgun, and she purchased ammunition. And she drove the 2.5 or 3 hours from there to Collierville, Tennessee, where she showed up somewhere 9, 10 o'clock that night at Mr. and Ms. Perry's residence. Mr. Perry wasn't there, but Miss Perry let her in. And they sat and talked for a while until Mr. Perry came in. Miss Perry knew the defendant from when they were in the church together in Little Rock. In fact, the two of them played tennis once a week. Miss Perry considered herself to be friends with the defendant. And so when she showed up at the door, she let her in and they talked. The defendant waited there until Rhoda's Perry got up. They talked for a few minutes more and she said, "Well, I'm going to leave. Don't want to bother y'all anymore." Mr. and Ms. Perry were about to walk her out the door when the defendant pulled the 9mm handgun that she had purchased 3 or 4 hours earlier. And she shot Mr. Perry multiple times. The medical examiner will testify they pulled 5 bullets out of his body. She also shot Tabitha Perry as she was kneeling beside her husband, trying to get him to quit, trying to help him, and trying to get the defendant to quit shooting. She was still on the scene with the gun when the police department arrived. You will hear that the bullets that the medical examiner recovered from Mr. Perry's body matched the Ruger 9mm that she purchased from the gun store in Sherwood, Arkansas. TBI, the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, analyzed those, and those matched. You'll hear that the shell casings, 7, I believe, recovered from the apartment were fired from the Ruger that she purchased from the gun store in Sherwood, Arkansas. There was a bullet recovered from the scene at the apartment that also was fired from the gun that she bought from the sporting goods store in Sherwood, Arkansas. You'll see video from the sporting goods store in Sherwood, Arkansas that shows the defendant going into the store, purchasing the ammunition and the gun, and leaving. You'll see the credit card that she purchased it with, and the receipts were the last 4 of the credit card match, showing the date and the time that she purchased that handgun. She had all kind of time to think about what she was doing. At the end of the proof, we're going to ask you to find her guilty as indicted in counts 1, 2, and 3 of the indictment. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Latasha Daniels is a woman who has spent her life surrounded by men who hurt women. Not all of those were physically abusive. Some were emotionally abusive. But from a very young age, Latasha listened at night with her 2 little sisters as her father beat her mother. Her father was a minister in the church, well respected in the community. Seeing his daughter knit something in her town, she knew she could never tell anyone the truth about what happened behind closed doors. When Latasha was 17 years old in high school, she got pregnant, and her father mandated that she marry. So at 17 years old, she married a man named Rodney. She and Rodney were married for a while, and then he eventually strayed in the relationship. She caught him cheating on her, and she was devastated. And that was the first time that Latasha tried to commit suicide. She felt like she had failed her marriage, kids, her father, her family, and that they would all be better off without her. She tried to take her life. The ongoing struggle with mental health would continue throughout Latasha's life. Her next marriage was to a man named Brian. Brian was not physically abusive. But very shortly after Latasha and Brian got married, he completely shut her out emotionally. When she would come home, she would sit in the parking lot or the driveway and cry. She knew when she walked into that house, a house that is supposed to be a home filled with love and filled with comfort and acceptance, her husband would sit on the couch and watch TV and then sit on the couch. And that went on for 8 years. And at a certain point, Latasha found herself so starved for love and for attention that she sought out counsel. She tried to get her husband to go with her to marriage counseling. And he wouldn't. So Latasha decided that she needed spiritual guidance. She needed to know that if she was going to be getting divorced, that she could find that amends with God for another marriage thing. Now, Rhodes Perry was an assistant pastor at St. Mark's Baptist Church in Little Rock, one of the biggest Baptist churches in Little Rock. He was one of the pastors that selected, among the thousands of church members, selected about 40 people to be life group leaders. Latasha was one of those people selected. And the group that she was in was one of about 7 or 8 people that Brodus Perry was directly over. And they had a very close, tight-knit group. Brodus Perry took very particular interest in his group. And while Latasha was struggling, seeking this spiritual covering, she reached out to Pastor Perry because she trusted him. She felt like she could be safe talking to him. She did not seek him out for a relationship. They met, had a counseling session where Latasha poured her heart out to him for almost 2 hours in tears, talking about the complete emotional neglect, the lack of love, the lack of attention, and how it made her feel in the marriage that she was currently in. And Pastor Perry listened, but seemed distracted to Latasha. Several weeks had passed and she was still struggling with these feelings, and so she reached out for a second session. And when she talked to Pastor Perry at the beginning, she said, "I appreciate you meeting with me, but I don't understand why when we met, you had your hands shoved in your jacket the whole time I was talking to you." Pastor Perry told her that he was doing that so that he could maintain his professionalism. As she was pouring her heart out to him, all he could do was think about sleeping with her. And when this counseling session started, within minutes, he grabbed her chair, pulled her to him, and began kissing her. And this woman, who had been so starved for love and affection, is finally receiving that. She did not seek it out, but she was receiving. In that session that was supposed to be counseling her through her divorce, became the first time that Latasha Daniels and Brodus Perry had sex. Immediately after that, Brodus Perry and Latasha started a relationship. But there were rules to be in a relationship with Brodus Perry. She immediately had to download the Confide app. Confide is similar to a Snapchat, where you open the message, you read it, and it disappears, and it's gone forever. That was the only means of communication that she was allowed to have with him, through that app. Brodus Perry traveled with the church. Pastors sometimes had their trips. Church groups had their trips. Latasha was to go on those trips. She had to pay her own way. He could not have his credit card tied with her. She was expected to be there. And while they were on trips, They would stay together in a hotel room. If Latasha was inside the hotel room, she was required to be naked, no matter what. She was inside that hotel room. And if she had the audacity to put on clothing inside a hotel room, he would get angry with her. He went so far as to say, if we are ever together and I am suffering from a medical emergency, do not call 911. You call Pastor Poynton. He will get me help. You don't do it. You get as far away from me as you need to get for nobody to find out about this.
By the end of their relationship, one of the rules was that Latasha was required to answer him with either yes, sir, or no, sir.
Bert has had a lot of rules. Latasha had fallen so deeply in love with him after being so starved in her past relationship that she was willing to follow him. She was willing to do whatever he wanted her to do because he loved her. She loved him.
There was a lot of guilt and a lot of shame around this relationship, though, because she knew that he was married. Now, she was in the process of a divorce, but she knew Tabitha.
Rodas was interested in a unique lifestyle, something called ethical non-monogamy. Basically, what ethical non-monogamy teaches is that as long as everyone in the relationship is informed and honest, that even from a marriage, you can have extramarital relationships. Brodus told Latasha this is a lifestyle that he wanted, and that Tabitha would allow him to have it. She was willing to let him engage in this ethical non-monogamy. And Brodus told Latasha, you and Tabitha will be sister wives. You will live with us. We will have a life together. I just haven't told her, but I will.
And so despite the shame and the guilt from this relationship, Latasha proceeded with the affair.
As part of this ethical non-monogamy, Brodus had a chat group, and it all started around this book that is kind of the guidebook for ethical non-monogamy. The book is called The Ethical Slut. Brodus made Latasha read that book, because it outlined what he was allowed to do. In the big group chats about this book, Brodus developed this kind of side chat that was with him and two other women, where they discussed their ethical non-monogamy. Hours and hours and hours, Brodus talked to them via video about how Tabitha was on board with his ethical non-monogamy. So much that when he said, okay, I want to do this, Tabitha said, you should do it with Latasha. She's your person. Let me talk to her. I'll break the ice. Tabitha selected Latasha. Is what Brodus was telling the other women in this group. And that Tabitha was completely on board because he was being so honest and so open and so truthful with her, that he was so honest that not only could he have Latasha, he could have another woman too.
they talked about these conversations that Tabitha would have with Latasha, the role that she played in their relationship. Tabitha had no idea that her husband was in this relationship for 2 years, despite the fact that he was telling these women that she was completely on board and involved, and despite the fact that he was telling Latasha that she was on board with this lifestyle and that it would be okay. They would all be able to do this together.
And so the relationship goes on. They take trips. Latasha buys some lavish gifts. They are happy. They see each other almost every day. They start drinking bourbon together. They start going to cigar lounges together. They start biking together, join a biking group. They would run together. Relationship that Latasha thought Tabitha had sanctioned.
You know, she didn't know that.
And towards the end of 2018, Brotus Perry got offered a position at Mississippi Boulevard Baptist Church here in Memphis. It's a big church here in Memphis. It's a prestigious church to be a pastor at here in Memphis. And Brotus talked to Latasha about whether he should accept this offer, and she said, yes, this is a huge opportunity, absolutely. She organized the going away party for him and Tabitha. After Brotus moved in October of 2018, he would come back to Little Rock. He still had his orthodontist in Little Rock, so he'd come back to get his braces tightened. And when he would come in town, he and Latasha would pick up where they left off. But things did start to change in the way Brotus was treated. And around March the 15th, Brotus came in town and texted Latasha, "I'm here at the hotel, come meet me." So she went. And on this day, she had the audacity to be wearing clothes when we walked in. She got very angry with her. And she apologized. And they proceeded to have sex. This was not the day that they knew love. This is a day that he had sex with her. He was demeaning and degrading, borderline aggressive with her, which is something that he had never done before. Pulling her hair, shoving himself into her mouth, hurting her, slapping her. Nothing that she had ever experienced with him before. She felt so used and humiliated and broken by that experience with him, this man that she loved so much and had put so much of her life into, for him to treat her like a piece of trash. And that became the second time that she attempted to commit suicide. The next day, she came back to the hotel room with a gun. She told him, "You hurt me so bad. I want you to hurt like I hurt." And she wanted to kill herself in front of him so that he knew what it felt like to break. To break because of somebody that you say that you love. He got the gun away from her. And they talked.
Brodus always knew what to say to Latasha to get her to do what he wanted.
He did on this day.
She did not kill herself.
But she was still working. They took some time apart, still talking on the phone, but not seeing each other in person. And on April the 4th, Latasha of 2019, Latasha opened her Confide app and saw a message from Brodus. It said something to the effect of, "Our time has come to an end." And it disappeared. He ended their 2-year relationship. There was supposed to be a life with a disappearing past. And Tasha said, "I was right to want to die." And she found herself so deep down in that dark hole that God could not reach her. And she didn't think that she deserved for God to reach her. She didn't have a gun anymore because Brodus had taken hers. Around 3 o'clock that afternoon, she wrote a letter to her family and left it for them. She told them goodbye. She told them that she was sorry. She knows that they would be better without her. Her life would be better. They would be better without her. And around 4 o'clock that afternoon, she didn't even take her purse with her to that gun store. She took her license and a debit card. She went and bought a gun to end her life. She had chosen a place that was of significance to her to go and commit suicide. It was in Jacksonville, Arkansas, Jonathan Park. And as she was driving down the interstate, she just kept thinking, if I could just see him, if I could just talk to him, he would understand. We can be okay again. This doesn't have to happen. I need to see him one more time. Even if this is where this goes, I just need to see him one more time. She looked up and saw the exit to Memphis. And she turned around. She found herself in downtown Memphis, which is a place that she is not accustomed to. She knew, because they were such regular communicators, she knew that on Thursday nights, Brodus would be at the cigar lounge. So she went to the cigar lounge. As she was walking up, Brodus walked out. She knows her rules. You do not approach him. She's not allowed to approach him because she didn't know if he was with somebody. He had to approach her so that she knew that she could talk to him. So she sees him and walks directly past him and waited for him to say, "Latasha." When he did that, she came back and talked to him. And they talked for a while. She was telling him how heartbroken she was. And he said, "It doesn't make any sense that my wife is okay with me having other women, but my girlfriend isn't." And she said, I'll be okay with it. You can do it. If that will fix it, I will do that. We'll give you that." And just like she had so many times in this relationship with him pressuring her to get a watcher or to have a threesome or to engage in this ethical non-monogamy. She gave in. Because she loved him so much that she was willing to do whatever she had to do to keep him. And he said, you haven't been willing to do that so far. She said, well, you haven't even told Tabitha about this. You know, how can I think that you're going to be honest with me when you haven't even told her? And so Berta said, fine. You want to tell her? We'll go tell her. Go to my apartment. Talk to her about tennis. Tell her you're in town for a convention. I've got to run an errand to Pastor Turner's house. I'll be there soon. You go tell her. Yeah, Latasha said, no, you need to be the one to tell her. I'll be there. I'll go there. But we need to tell her together. And so Latasha went to their apartment, where she had never been before. He gave her the address. He had actually given it to her before they even moved out of Little Rock. And so Latasha arrives at this apartment complex that she's never been to at night. She's not from here. She doesn't frequent Memphis. She doesn't know the difference between downtown Memphis and Carterville. She just knows it was dark outside and she had to walk from her car to the apartment. And as she's sitting in her car, she starts having second thoughts. And she calls Brodus. Are you sure we should do this? I'm scared. But she had so much hope at this point. She thought that things were finally falling into place, that they were finally going to tell Tabitha. They would finally be able to be openly and honestly together. And Berta didn't answer. So Latasha went to the apartment, softly knocked on the door. Tabitha was inside and she heard something but ignored it. So a couple seconds later, a little bit louder. So Tabitha gets up and goes to investigate, see who's at her door. She looks through the peephole and doesn't see anything. Talking through the door, she says, you know I'm not going to open this door unless I can see you, right? And at that point, Latasha kind of put herself into the frame of the peephole. And Tabitha says, Latasha, is that you? She opens the door. Yes, Tasha, invites her in. And they talk about tennis, and they talk about her being in town for a conference. And they sit in the living room and chat. Brodus comes home a little while later, walks in, and Tabitha texted him while she and Latasha were talking, that I've got a surprise for you. And so he walked in, and he just said, that wasn't the surprise I was expecting. It seemed very distant. So he sits, kind of makes some awkward conversation with Latasha, small talk. But he won't look at her. He will not acknowledge the elephant that Latasha knows is in the room. He offers her some bourbon. She says, sure. Tabitha said no, because she had been drinking earlier in the day, so she didn't want any more. And Brodus poured himself some. And they chatted for a few more minutes, but Brodus really started completely ignoring Latasha there. And she saw the writing on the wall that this wasn't going to happen. He wasn't going to tell her. And so she said, you know what, I'm not going to keep going. But she wanted to talk to him. She wanted to find out why. She said, Brodus, walk in my car. Southern hospitality, you're the man. You know, will you walk me to my car? He said, no, Tabitha will walk you in. No, be a gentleman, walk me to my car. And he said, no, Tab will do it. So Tab got up, started walking out. She did not even understand the enormity of that moment behind her. When he wouldn't even walk outside and take a moment to talk to her. She put her hands in her pocket and she felt the gun that was in there as she was reaching for her keys. She did not think about what was happening. This was not what she came there to do. In that moment, she broke. And she did shoot Curtis Perry. While screaming, he broke my heart. And Tabitha ran to shield him and jumped in front of him. And that is when she got struck in the shoulder. And Tabitha said to her, Latasha, you shot me. And Latasha said, no, I didn't. She said, yes, you did. You shot me. And Latasha said, I didn't mean to shoot you. And Tabitha said, just go. Go. Leave. The police are on their way. Just go. Because Tabitha, when all this started, was already outside. She ran to the neighbor's house, knocked on the door, and said, call 911. And then ran back in. Latasha had never threatened her, never tried to shoot her. Nothing. This was a moment that broke between Latasha and Brutus. But it was not a moment of cool, calm judgment. It is not what that night was supposed to be. That night was supposed to be a start, not an end. But that night, she broke. That every day. And it hurts her. She feels shame about what happened. To know that her hands did that. This was not judgment and election. This was a break. And when the police came, their guns drawn, yelling at her to put down the gun, she didn't even register them. She didn't respond to them. Tabitha said that she was bringing the gun to her head, towards her mouth, not even acknowledging the police. And in assessing the situation, police determined that they should use a non-lethal round. And they shot Latasha in the chest with that non-lethal round. She was thrown to the ground, did not move. The police did not choose to use their firearms. They chose to use a non-lethal round. They actually tried to use a non-lethal round first and the gun jammed. They ran down to their car and ran back up with another non-lethal round. No other shots were fired in that entire time. This was not what this night was supposed to be.
There's more of the Preacher's Side Chick murder trial of Latasha Daniels coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.